It is good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I've really looked forward to this morning. I was really let down that I couldn't be here yesterday to be in service with you, but I still have a job like some folks, and it's not always easy. I covet your prayers. And I'm gonna quote another elder that's wanted to be here today, Brother James Hall. We come to these meetings, these open meetings, not expecting to get called on, but knowing it's always an option, the scriptures tell us to be prepared in season and out of season, and those things we try to do. But if I told you I didn't look forward to standing and speaking to you this morning, I'd be telling you a lie, because there's one thing about being called of God to preach the word. If you don't have a burning desire in you,
amen,
to stand before God's people and declare a Savior risen and resurrected, then we don't need to be here.
That's right.
That's what this is all about, is to glorify His precious name. And I had a dear friend I hadn't seen in many years. I ran across the other day, and he and I were talking, and I loved talking. He started off talking about Scripture, and that's always the first thing that's on my mind. Sometimes we run across friends we can't talk about Scripture to, because they won't listen to you very long, and they'll walk away. But on this one, we did. And one of the things he said to me was, he said, "Brother Steve," he said, "I found when I got to my cross and I'm called to bear it, it wasn't very heavy." He said, "The problem I had was getting there." He said, "It was the journey from being called of God and getting to that cross we're called to bear." And I understood that because, I carried a cross of my own for many years, and it was pretty heavy. It was burdensome. And it kept me away from God and doing the things that I should be doing. But when I found out where that cross, Christ told many of them on occasions, he said, "Follow me. Come and follow me." He asked him to do those things. He told Peter in those little things, he said, "Follow me." When you see, following Christ should be easy. But getting to his footsteps is a tough journey. Some of those things have been on my mind over the past few days is Christ himself. And I'm going to start the place. It doesn't seem like maybe we ought to start from. But in Matthew chapter 11, 25, Christ is speaking. And he answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Now, this is one of the things, I apologize, it's not my subject, but I get really tired hearing people say sometimes, you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart, that you may know him. Christ said no man knew him. He the Father, and no man knows the Father. We don't know either one of them until they reveal themselves to us. They have to do the revealing. We can't do that. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, that's where I want to start from. As all power was given unto Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth. He didn't say part of the power. He didn't say a little bit of the power. He didn't say anything about it being divided up between anyone else. It was all power was given to Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth. Those things we need to understand in our lives when we walk through this world. That all power was given unto him. One of the things that kind of sticks in my mind is it pops out when I begin to think about these things. Is the day came when Jesus, his mother Mary, and the disciples were called to a marriage in Cana. And they were there, and Mary said to him, I'm not going to read the scripture, but Mary said to him, to Jesus, "They're wanting wine and they have none." Now, the statement that Jesus made bothered me many years ago when I began to read that. He says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come." He wasn't talking about his crucifixion. He was talking about the hour of the true beginning of his ministry, of his preaching the gospel. We have to understand that in those days, a Levi priest could not come to the priesthood till he was 30 years old. He had to leave the priesthood at age 50. This was the law. That was the way it was held. In that culture, even a man, just a male suspect, a male person was not considered to be mature until he was 25 years old and not ready to go out into the world until he was 30 years old. We see Jesus came not to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. He didn't start his ministry until he was 30 years of age, just like all the other priests. At this moment, his hour had not yet begun. But Mary, speaking to him directly, his question was, what have I done to thee? He serves the Father, not her. He serves the Father in heaven. His hour was not yet come. But you'll notice Mary changed her deliverance and began to speak to those around her, the servants, instead of speaking to Christ. And she said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Then Jesus told them to take the pots and go fill them with water. We know the story about that. But the thing about it is Jesus says, my hour is not yet come. Now, I know I'm going to say Old Baptist, Hard Shell Baptist, Primitive Baptist, Regular Baptist, whatever you want to call yourself, we believe and hold to the facts that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. He wasn't lacking on either side of that. He was not missing any spirit. He was filled up with the Holy Ghost. He was the Holy Ghost. He was the Father in the flesh. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was lacking nothing. But we find when Jesus went down to the River Jordan to be baptized to John, of course, John would probably say the same thing over there. You know, I have a need to be baptized of you instead of me baptizing you. But he came and he told John, he said, but it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. It becomes us. Well, it becomes the Jews to follow the law, to the jot and the tittle, to keep those things according to God, thus saith the Lord, not thus saith the high priest or the Pharisees or whoever else. But it does all of us, it becomes us to keep the laws of God. John baptized Jesus, and then straightway when it came up out of the water, John saw the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus in the form of a bodily form of a dove. And it said it abode there. The word abode means to set up housekeeping. Now, some say this was the Holy Ghost coming in. But I want to be honest with you. Jesus was already filled up with the Holy Ghost. What happened here was the Spirit of God confirmed and gave him, if you will, permission to go forth with his ministry. To begin preaching. He was given that from God of heaven. It's time. Your hour has come to begin. And he began as hard as any man can begin there on that mountaintop face to face with Satan. He was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know that you and I can do it. The doctor will tell you that you can fast for 45 to 60 days without dying. You know, but I don't know. I fasted for a pretty good while, but I ain't made it to 40 days yet, Brother Rusty. I'm telling you, you know. But Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. There on that mountaintop, he was tempted with every sin that is known to man. They're gathered into three, just like we know in the garden. It was the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He was tempted with every one of them. And I've heard it said, well, since he was God, he wasn't tempted as you and I are tempted. He was 100% man. He was tempted and felt the temptation just as strong as I do when it's given unto me. He was not, just because he was God, he didn't feel that thing. Same thing. When Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to the Father that this cup might pass from him, he wasn't praying for the crucifixion to pass from him. He was praying for that moment when the Father had to forsake him. Just for that moment in time. That he could die the death that you and I were called to die on our part. Now, I'm just kind of off subject. The word forsaken there, when we think about that, we think, oh, well, God just turned his back completely on him and just walked away and didn't care anything. No, that's not what the word forsake means when you look up the definition of it. It means to offer up or to lift up or to allow. God allowed Jesus for that moment to suffer the death of man, not of God. To suffer the death of man on our behalf. He allowed him to do that. That's what Jesus had never been separated from his Father. From eternity. Right. And he knew the hour was coming when he would have to. But he said, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thine be done. You see, That's what we do. You know, the journey from being called and being revealed unto you to a little child of God and being baptized, the journey begins on how you're going to get from there to your yoke. To take up that yoke and to follow Him. He said, my yoke is easy and the burden's light. Well, I'm going to tell you, when you find your burden a little bit heavy and you find your yoke a little bit hard to pull, it's time to stop. Get on your knees and give it to God. And hand it over to Him. Don't be trying to do it on your own.
Right.
You know, we sometimes don't take, you know, out of the scriptures the things we really need. You know, this week I woke up in the middle of the night just thinking how blessed the children of Israel were in the wilderness for all those years when Christ was going before them and Christ was behind them. There was a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke. It was covered on both ends. They were cared for. They were fed daily. That whole picture is a picture of a little child of God. Just as John the Baptist was when he came, he said he came preaching in the wilderness. What do you think this old world is? It's a wilderness. We're strangers and pilgrims. One of the things we don't hear much anymore out of the songs we sing in church, we pick up the lively ones sometimes. Sometimes we don't sing those old hymns where it says, I'm a stranger and I'm a pilgrim. And I'm just traveling through this old world, you know, and I'm looking for a home not made for hand. We don't sing those things. We fit in pretty good in this old world we're in these days. We get pretty comfortable with the things of the world. But you see, John, you know, not, this is a day after, this is days after he baptized Jesus, but John again was baptized, and I believe it was in Bethrodia, but he said, you know, he's telling them, he saw Jesus coming again, and he said, behold the Lamb of God. And he said, this is whom I told you about that would come after me that was preferred before me. Well, he was before John.
Right.
Jesus said on occasion that he was telling the Pharisees, I was before Abraham. And he argued that this exact word is, because we've got to understand exactly. Before Abraham was, I am. Abraham was in past tense. Jesus was in present tense.
Right.
Before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
Now after Abraham was, I still am.
Amen.
And in the day he was, he still am.
That's right. That's right.
And he still am today.
Amen.
He's eternal. He's from the beginning. But you see, John declared this to them, but one of the things that sticks out in my mind is John declared to them, he said, the one that you was preferred before me, who comes after me, I knew him not. Remember what the Lord said? No man knoweth me, knoweth the Son, and no man knoweth the Father. John says, I didn't know him. He says that twice to these people who are there in the baptizing. He says, I knew him not. Tells them that twice. But then he declares when he knew who he was. He says when we were at the River Jordan, and he says when he was baptized and he came up, he said, I bear record. Brother, that's a strong statement. This is not just I'm going to testify what Brother Rusty told me. When you bear a record means you were there. It was written upon your own mind. It was written upon your own heart. You can testify to the actual event. He said, I bear record. There's a spirit descended out of heaven in the form of a dove, and it remained upon him. Remember the day it happened? He said, a voice out of heaven spoke, said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. You see, at that moment when John saw that spirit descending upon him, that was the power of God giving him permission to go forth and do all he wanted to do. It was all in his hands. All the powers of heaven and all the powers of earth. He already had the power. He was just waiting to do the will of the Father at a certain day, at a certain hour, at a certain time. But you see, then John says, truly, I bear record, this is the Son of God. Well, you see, is that not what happened the day it was revealed unto you that you were a little child of God? That you bore record in here. That the Son of God had spoken unto you. He called you out from among men. Now the journey begins to get to that yoke. The journey begins. How are we going to get there? Well, you see, I wouldn't recommend the road I took. I promise you. I recommend you check in with Jesus first. Get on your knees and pray about it. Seek the road. As a young man, I did some of that. And I turned against him. I went my own way. But you see, Paul said on occasions the trials and the tribulation he goes through, he counted it all joy. For the Lord's sake. You know, I find it today, I have more and more pains and tribulations than I used to have. It's in the song we just sang, them three score years.
Right.
And these 60 years, things get a little tougher than they were when I was 20. The pains are a little bit more. But there's days I wake up and I hurt, and I thank God, and I have a little joy. I say, you know what? An old friend of mine told me in high school, he said, pain is proof you're alive. He said, when you quit having pain, you might not be alive anymore. So, you know, I thank God that I had a little bit of pain, let me know I was alive. And I was well and had been blessed to see a new day. Now, God, go along, Brother David. This sunshine is beautiful. It moves people to other things. But you see, Jesus came into this world, and he came to his own, and his own received him not. But you see, but as many as that did receive him, he gave unto them eternal life. And it's not talking about choices, brothers and sisters. We're talking about came to his own. Remember that? He came to his own. He didn't come to the world out here. He didn't come to all those others that are out there. He came to his own. And his own received him not. Those of you who have raised children, you may have not gone through what I've gone through, but we've had times in our life that my own children didn't receive me very well, Brother Rusty. That we're on oppositions on points of different things, and I wasn't received very well because I stood my ground. Well, Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. But you see, there's magic in those who did receive him. Them he gave eternal life. I want to get out to a point here. I don't want to give you a little brother plenty of time to preach this morning. I came here to listen this morning to be fed. I came hungry on both sides, you know, for the natural food, and I came hungry for the spiritual food above that. But you see, there's a scripture over there that says that we have been given the power. We've been given the power to become the sons of God.
Right.
That's that journey from being called to getting to your yoke, to following Christ. We've been given the power, as Christ was given the power to go forth and preach the gospel in his day and reveal himself unto his people. You have the same power given unto you by the same Spirit that come down from the Father of lights and gave it to us. We have the same power to put on Christ and to put off that old man and to walk outside that natural body. We have the power to become the sons of God. Now, we need to spend several nights in the Garden of Gethsemane praying that some of those cups might pass from us. Because sometimes when we become the sons of God, you lose the friendship of the world. You'll lose business, you'll lose contacts, you'll lose all the rest of them. There was a time in my life I thought I had more friends than I could even count, Brother Rusty. When I quit drinking, smoking, and running around partying with all of them, I didn't have any. When I got back to the church and I turned back to the Lord, I even had less. I thought that was pretty bad. I got down to about four. And then the Lord called me to preach and I lost them. But we still sing a song. There is a song. I have a friend in Jesus.
Amen.
And outside of him, none of the rest of them don't matter.
Amen.
I have a lot of acquaintances today. But when I need help, I call upon the Lord.
That's right. Every day.
I call upon him. You know, see, we have got some big crutches out here in the world. We lean on the world and all the things the world has to offer to get us through life. We don't need those. Brother Rusty does his daily devotional, and I love it, Brother Rusty. I don't know. Keep it up. He did one on the Lord's Prayer. We stop and read that example that the Lord gave us to pray by. I want you to notice that nowhere in there is there a 401k mentioned. Amen. Nowhere in there is there a new car, new house, new lands, or a pair of oxen to go try out, Brother Rusty. Not in there. It starts off, first of all, praising His name. Giving Him the glory for everything that we do have. And to ask Him to forgive us by the same manner and token as I would forgive any one of you or anybody else who trespassed against me. And then He says to ask for your daily bread. For today. Not tomorrow, but for today. Is that not an example of what took place in the wilderness with the children of Israel? He gave them their daily bread. All the years they were there, their shoes didn't wear out. They didn't have to wash clothes every day. They didn't have to gather wood for fire. They didn't have to cook. They didn't have to wash dishes. And then we sang a song, and the scripture backs up our song. He has so cared for the lilies of the valley. And the sparrows. They toil not and they spend not. Yet all their beauty is so far above Solomon's and all his riches and all the things he had in this world that we can't fathom it. Have you ever just sat down and picked up a flower and just examined the blooms and look at the handiwork and then think, there's a big explosion caused that to happen. As a child, you know, we used to buy, you know, they outlaw most of the fireworks now. As a child, we used to buy fireworks. You could buy dynamite when I was a child. In quarter and half sticks. We would take them and open them up and combine them together to make one a little bit bigger. I've blown up a lot of things. And I ain't never seen a sparrow and a flower or nothing else come out of anything.
That's right.
All I got was total destruction. But for you to get something as beautiful as a little child of God in service to His Savior, when you get something as pretty as a flower, these may not be real, they may be through, whatever. But if you get something that beautiful, and you can come to the conclusion that it got that beautiful without a designer, part of your brain is dead. Amen. Part of your understanding is clouded.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I look forward to, the scripture tells me, I see, as much as I see today in the beauty of God, I see through a glass darkly.
Yeah, that's right.
I see like a blind man the first time that Christ spit upon his eyes. He said, I see trees as men walking. All what he saw was men walking who looked like trees. But you see, that's the way I see today. The scripture confirms that on that great day, you know, Paul said, I don't know what I shall be, but I know I'll be likened unto him.
Amen.
And I will know all things in whole, not only in part. I will see him face to face. Not through a glass darkly anymore.
Right.
It won't be in the shadows. It won't be blurred. It will be clear. It will be clear. And that's the day I look forward to. And I thank you for your kind attention. Y'all pray for these little brethren that's going to come forth.